And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
Greetings, geek and geekettes. It's Jeff Hackworth with Sci-Fi for Me and The Rogues Gallery. Here with Jason Hunt in studio, Kendall Sin in studio.
How you doing?
From Parts Unknown, Timothy Harvey.
Good evening.
From Earth 2 is Chris Jensen.
Evening.
And I'm your host from Texas. And we will be talking about the DC filmed media tonight.
Yes. The TV shows, mostly. Might touch on a little bit on the movies, a little bit. We've got a lot to go through on the TV side of things. I think the most buzzworthy among all of the different news items that have come out this week is the fact that Matt Ryan is going to play John Constantine again.
Dusting off the trench coat.
I did not think that would happen. I did not think there was any universe in which that would be possible.
I know. Wasn't that something? I mean,
it kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, well,
not really, but I mean, they were trying to revive the show, but I never would have thought Arrow.
Yeah, well, Arrow's the most logical place for it to show up.
And it's going to be the most fun.
Yeah.
And what this
and
means...
now we know how Katie Lotz's character is coming back to life.
Yeah, because they found a reason to bring him in, with tying it into the Lazarus Pit and all of that. I think it's...
I'm actually going to start watching Arrow now.
Well, and season 4 should be a lot more lighter anyway, so it's a good jumping on point for
I'm
going
to try to catch up on my... I've got a lot of flight time coming up, so I'm going to download some episodes and catch up on
that. Now, Netflix only has the first two seasons, I think.
I know, therefore I might... Well, by the time I get through the first two seasons, the third season will probably be up.
It could be. But, this actually is a win for the fans. It's
massive win.
Not only are we going to get to see Constantine again...
It's a win for us. Some of us were breaking things when Constantine got canceled.
Well, it's that in it's like the letter writing campaign that saved Star Trek or
it means we're one step closer to getting Swamp Thing. And what's really cool is this is bringing him into the CW universe.
Yeah.
So now he could pop up in Legends of Tomorrow and pop up in Flash and pop up in all these different things.
Well, hang on. They are talking.
You shut your mouth, Tim Harvey.
Deal. That's the.
It depends if anybody watches it. If people watch it, they will get more.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the key. And I think the curious thing is that for all the fact that, again, we come back to the movie universe, everyone's got this big question mark, huge hesitation, what are they doing, blah, blah, blah. You look at the TV universe and everyone's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. On almost everything, they're saying, okay, cool.
It's pretty shocking when you give people what they want. It's funny how that works out. And you don't get all... And you don't have to use your voice, Zack Snyder. You don't have to, push yourself onto the audience. You just give the audience what they want and live within that realm, and everybody wins. Everybody's happy.
Well, I think some of it is that Greg Berlanti and their team, not only because we've seen this before, but not only have they won the trust of the audience and proven that they know what they're doing, but as they continue through from season to season to season on these shows, they are earning more trust from DC Comics. And that's the key point on all of this, is the fact that they sit there and they say, look, we know these characters, we know how to handle them, and okay, now you can have White Canary, okay, now you can have Rip Hunter, and okay, now you can have, fill in the blank, all of these characters that for the first season they couldn't have.
It's like a video game. You start out with a few select characters. And as you progress, you unlock more characters and achievements
that is
for
a
the
very,
characters.
Very good way of looking at it.
much like another cinematic universe, of course, they are also adding that element, you know, of magic, you know, with the upcoming Vixen cartoon series. This is a nice evolution, you know. Flash is science, Arrow is kind of crime drama, a little bit of tech, you know.
Constantine and could be on Vixen. Holy moly, mind is blown.
That's a very good point. I mean, because it really, in the animated stuff, anything could happen.
You could do anything you want.
Yeah, and really, well, like you were saying, yes, now Constantine's appearance, and I'm gonna continue to say Constantine because I'm told that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced. But he, you know, yes, it's going to be a one-off, but if they do it right, if they handle it correctly, which I don't really have too much doubt that they will, then DC can sit there and go, okay, let him have it, because not only does that give us Constantine, it also gives us the Spectre.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah, potentially. So, well, what's interesting, I think a lot of it is that they don't have the level of pressure that a feature film does.
Right.
I mean, you can if it,
you can
if it
make a mistake.
Burns on the CW.
Yeah.
Then you sit there and go, eh, oh well.
In the course of a 22 episode season, you don't, you know, you aren't going to knock every one of them out of the park. There's going to be 22 episodes from best to worst, and they all cost the same amount of money, unlike a feature where you put $200 million into it and you have to appease everybody.
Well, and episodes, too, give you a chance of amortizing your costs.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do, okay, we know that episode 18 is going to have this really huge effect set,
mm-hmm.
then we need to trim that budget from here, episode 3 and 5 and 9, so we can afford to do that one back there. You can do that planning.
Yeah, you can't do that on a feature. There's just no way. You can't have Act One will be very slow moving.
Yeah,
and all just two people sitting and talking.
Fantastic Four.
Act Two.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four audience, Fantastic Four filmmakers completely forgot. But anyway,
wasn't that 2/3?
Well, if
sitting
you're
around talking.
Team.
Well, there
if
is
you're
no,
gonna
there
have
is
a
no
team,
second act,
don't keep them separate.
Yeah,
there is no second act in Fantastic Four. It goes first act and then third act, and you're like, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you talk about team. Have you seen the concept art for the new Arrow lair, the new Arrow headquarters? There's a table, a round table in the lair with chairs around the table in the lair. It looks very much like the table in the Watchtower.
The Hall of Justice.
The Hall of Justice. Yeah. So it's funny.
So are we going to call it the Quiver or the Arrow Cave?
It would not surprise me at all if both of those pop up and they both get a look.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, really?
Harley Quinn has called it the Quiver many times in the comic books.
Well, and that's something that one actually feels something that Ray would suggest. And, you know, the Arrow Cave has already come up in a couple of different episodes. I don't know. I mean, depending on where it's located, if it's still underground, it may be, you know, the Arrow Bunker or the cave or whatever. But if it's up high somewhere on top of a tower where they could watch over the
headquarters.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's because Felicity's CEO of Parker of Palmer Technology now. Because Ray's dead.
Well,
yeah.
Is he really?
Well, no. But I mean, he blew up an entire floor of his building. They think he's dead, so now she's in charge. So you know, because remember, she signed all of that paperwork. That ownership paperwork. This is if anything happens
you
to
forget,
me.
You forget. I don't. You're talking to them.
That's right. Well, see, I'm talking.
I will catch up on Arrow, but
okay.
If they didn't stop putting out new things,
as much in the dark about it as is Felicity, because she wasn't paying attention while she was saying it anyway.
That's right. Yeah, because didn't Ray have his shirt off? I mean, that just throws the whole thing right there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I love
There's
the.
Two.
I
There's two aspects of the arrival of Constantine that I really like to briefly discuss that I'm really curious about. And it's, one, since he's going to have an involvement in Resurrection of Sarah, I still want to know, like, how her father's going to react to that. And
poorly.
Is how
poorly.
Is the,
poorly.
how is the team going to react to someone like Constantine? Magic aside, Constantine's got a pretty strong personality.
Oh, I want that. Because there are certain restrictions that are no longer on the character. I would love to see this haze of smoke around him, and B, I want him to hit on Felicity so bad.
He will. He will definitely do that.
And I want it to be just this. I can see it in my head, and it's like, give this to me now.
Why do you want him to hit on Felicity? Why not? Because he's
going to hit on everybody.
It is his way. He probably will, but I think that just because of her reaction, because she's so much fun to watch.
They're going to put him in the arrow suit, and then they're going to make the cops think that he's the arrow to distract from Oliver Queen.
You know, we've never seen that before.
You know,
we've not.
I would like to see Constantine hit on Felicity's mom.
Well, if they do it right, by the time he leaves the show, he will have hit on everyone. He will leave with a smirk and a bunch of phone numbers.
Well, and it is going to be interesting to see how Dad reacts. Because how long has Sarah been dead at this point in the chronology of the show?
They're saying about a year.
About a year. Yeah. And what does that do if you use the Lazarus Pit?
Well, that's part of the reason what they're saying is that the Lazarus Pit has already been indicated that it can't affect people beyond a certain number of weeks being dead. And that's why Constantine is coming in partly.
Okay. Well, that makes a certain amount of sense then.
Just like how it affected Thea.
Yeah.
She was dead for
But Thea wasn't dead for very long. I mean, she was just, right. I mean, you kill her and they fly to Nanda Parbat in the magic plane that gets there in 3 hours and then she's okay. But yeah, Sarah's been dead and buried, like officially in the ground for a long time.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like kind of like a soul retrieval.
Ooh. That would be something. The Lazarus Pit resurrects the body, and then Constantine has to pull her soul back from wherever it goes.
Yep.
That would be interesting.
Or what we don't know is that there's a White Lantern ring somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we're going to get the White Lantern. It would be really nice to get the Lantern.
We have introduced the color spectrum.
I know.
I don't think we're going to get it either. But
well, and see, the thing about it is too. I mean, if you're connecting the NBC show now with the CW universe, that brings in because if they ever have a chance to go back to the warehouse, the underground place where John does all of his work, you've got Psycho Pirate's mask is there, Dr. Fate's helmet is there, and that opens up even more story possibilities if Mark Pedowitz sits there and says, you know what, let's be the DC Comics network.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's tons of story potential there for all of the different things that they have not touched on.
Yeah, I'm wondering how far away we are from that. Well, again,
maybe Diggle will have to be the new Dr. Fate.
Ooh. Oliver Queen, Demon Hunter.
does anyone remember what my time frame was for the bubble bursting?
2 years.
Was it 2 years? Okay.
2 years.
Yeah, I'm sticking by my 2 year. I have to stick with that. So I don't know if that's going to be enough time to develop an entire DC network.
Chris,
you mentioned Oliver Queen, Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Why don't you just call Sam and Dean from Supernatural?
Yeah.
They're on the same network.
Yeah.
Well, the introduction of Heaven and Hell with Constantine into the kind of universe, the scope, opens up all that Supernatural element.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
I would love to just see the Impala drive by just in one scene.
Just as a cameo?
Just as a cameo for no reason.
What network is Lucifer on?
Fox.
Lucifer. How to mangle an amazing concept into something that, it's a police procedural? Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, but yet at the same time, we're begging them to just do that in Gotham. what we're saying is like, just make it a police procedural.
Well, yeah, that's
just
the irony.
Stay away from all this other stuff.
Well, because Gotham is a crime thriller.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it just from the right perspective, there does not need to be any supernatural elements in Gotham. The pieces that work in the show, at least as we've discussed, the pieces that work in the show are all the crime elements, not the, you know, the crazy villains and the weird girlfriend and all of the other stuff. It's the cop show. It's the gangs. It's the mob. That's the best part of Gotham.
We don't need Bruce to find the Batcave already.
Speaking of which,
we've got a preview video that shows Bruce finding the cave. Now, this does not mean he's immediately going to start, you know, training with bats or anything like that, but he does find the cave at least. So we know that's coming. There are so many different casting announcements that have come out in the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's crazy stupid to try to keep track of them all. We've got Silver St. Cloud. I think Natalie Lynn, I think, is going to play Silver St. Cloud, who's going to be a new love interest potential for Bruce Wayne. We have James Frayne coming in as Silver St. Cloud's uncle. And I didn't see who's playing Tigress.
I missed that one.
But yeah, all of that. So we've got all of that coming into Gotham. Dominic Monaghan, or Cameron Monaghan, Jerome.
Yeah.
Cameron Monaghan? No. What's his
with
first
the,
name?
The kid?
Yeah, the kid that plays Jerome.
He's
been
just calling Jerome.
He's been bumped up to a regular.
So he will be back.
He will be back. And then,
boy,
of course,
I'm ready. They're going to. It's dangerous. That is just inviting.
Yeah, and
disaster.
We've got
Mr. Freeze.
Have they cast Freeze yet?
I haven't seen anything that they have. They have cast Leo Fitzpatrick as a character named Joe Pike, leader of an arsonist gang called the Pike Brothers. Now, that's not, as far as we know, not a comic book universe character. This is original to the show, like Fish. Unless the Pike, unless Joe Pike ends up being who? Firefly?
Fish.
Just with a different name?
This sounds more and more like the ingredients of a great batch of cancellation soup to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here, right?
It's dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Well,
it
seems to be that the producers, like I said, last time when we were talking about the finale, they have embraced the crazy.
Yeah.
They've decided this is the way we're going to go. We're going to introduce all of the villains before Batman even shows up.
Yeah.
The villains are all going to be fully formed, which is
makes
so
sense.
Counterintuitive.
It's not unthinkable.
Oh, Harvey Dent has been upped to a season regular too.
Yeah. And so is Marina Baccarin. So she's going to be a regular. The guy who plays Lucius Fox, I think, has also been up to a regular.
That's a lot of time that you're getting away from the two best parts of your show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you see Ben McKenzie said that he's got to earn the mustache? I'm like, what? They don't. Screw the mustache.
They'll give a mustache to anybody.
Not just anyone can have the mustache.
They're going to end up with like all the best rogues of Batman in like a retirement home by the time Bruce becomes Batman.
I know, right? It's like,
that sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah.
I was talking about it with my son James, and he said basically Fox is doing to Batman what CW did to Superman with Smallville. You're going to take all of the good stuff before it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically taking all of the villains, and let's just go ahead and throw them in. I don't know. I think Chris is right. I don't think it's going to survive another season.
I think...
And maybe this is the...
Well, that leaves, since they're getting all of these villains, that leaves us heavy hitters like Killer Moth and Man-Bat and, you know...
Well, not only that, but also consider the fact that Supergirl is going head-to-head against Gotham.
Yeah.
Because they're going to run the same time slot. I think CBS took a look around and went, you know, Gotham's not going to last very long. We're going to kill them.
Because
Supergirl is going to pound Gotham into the ground.
I think it's
laser
gonna,
vision.
I don't know. I'm kind of with where you guys are with Gotham. I am with Supergirl. I don't know.
Have you seen the pilot?
I have seen the pilot. I don't know if it's sustainable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
If they do Alien Villain of the Week, no, you're right. It wouldn't last more than a season if they do Alien Villain of the Week. But given the fact that they've got that over that arc,
I don't care about Alien Villain of the Week. I care about Love Interest of the Week.
Well, there's not going to be a Love Interest of the Week.
Well,
there,
I care about
there may
I care
be
about
a love triangle.
I care about it being kind of a. I'm very worried about it. Because I think they're really going after more of a female audience, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I just don't want it to get... I don't want it to become Felicity. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be...
Alan McBeal?
I don't want it to be one of those shows like, who's she going to sleep with this week?
I don't
want it to become that show.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though, and I don't think it will, and let me tell you why. Because this and the showrunners... have even invoked the name of the Donner Superman universe as their inspiration. And I've said...
Well, anybody can say that.
I know, but I even said on this show that Chris Reeve could put on the costume and walk onto the set of Supergirl and be right at home. That's what kind of show this feels like to me. And to hear the producers sit there and go... This is what we were going for. We were going for the vibe of that, the early Donner films. It tells me, one, Kara's not going to be sleeping around. Because
Superman didn't in the Donner films.
one person. But the that wholesome hope, optimistic
thing. An illegitimate child.
Yeah, well, we're talking about that. But that tells me, you know, they're going for a particular type of hero with Kara. And I think that's going to work.
I hope. See, I did see that in the pilot, like her.
Yeah.
Like her personality and stuff. And it felt not dissimilar from the Flash pilot.
Yeah.
Remember, we all watched the Flash pilot. We all got really excited, you know, because I was like, wow, they're getting it right. And I watched this and I was like, and I don't feel like it was as right as the Flash, but keep in mind, I was watching it not on my TV. You know what I mean? Like I watched a crummy copy of it, but I got a good vibe from it.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid of what it could evolve into.
Well,
I think they laid down some good groundwork for characters, but one of the problems is that the villain does feel like it could be a little bit more of like a villain of the week at the moment. You know, and Flash started out that way too, but it eventually evolved into a much deeper character-rich story. So hopefully that's the direction, you know, being the same producers are going to go with Supergirl.
Well, and did anybody see, I don't know if anybody saw yet, the news that, well, we know that Lucy Lane is coming to Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Dewan Tatum, Channing's wife, is going to play Lucy Lane, the younger sister of the
Lana.
Intrepid reporter Lois Lane.
Another thing that makes me nervous about these shows is they keep making up new characters.
Lucy's not a new character.
Was she in the comics? I don't
Lucy
remember
comes,
her from the comics.
Lucy was co-created by Otto Binder and Kurt Swan in 1956. She appeared first in the pages of Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Just for our listeners at home, I want you to know that he just brought that up off the top of his head. He's not looking at a computer. He's not looking in a book. That stuff just came straight off the top of Jason's head.
Well, and there's a reason for that. It's because I wrote the article that talked about the casting of Lucy Lane, because we've had rumors that she was going to be on the show for a couple of weeks now.
Okay. Okay.
And there was a question of whether or not that opens the door to see whether or not Superwoman eventually shows up, mm-hmm. because Lucy was one of the incarnations of Superwoman. But your concerns about the love triangle, Lucy and Jimmy have a history, and we've got James Olsen on the show, we've got Kara on the show, we've got now Lucy Lane on the show. So there is the formula, there are the elements there, mm-hmm. for the love triangle, and that could be complicated by Winslow, and it could very well be they end up double dating. Kara and Winslow go out. James and Lucy strike up a
smoochy, smoochy, smoochy. Turns into a terrible show. I'm just telling you.
Well,
recipe for cancellation. Am I right, Chris? Am I right?
It's possible. Yes,
it worked for Lois and Clark.
Yeah, smashingly.
Until they got married. Well, if you have the romantic dynamic in a show like that. As soon as you change it, whether they get married or they break up or whatever, and whatever is working, you decide to change whatever's working, then suddenly you put the show on a completely different trajectory and some people don't react well to it.
Yeah.
But did you see, not only are we getting Lucy Lane, we're getting Helgramite on Supergirl.
Who's Helgramite?
Helgramite. Tim?
No idea. I'm sorry. I actually don't know everything.
Helgramite is a character. It's a minor character. I was really surprised. This popped up across my feed today. But the Helgramite is a character. He's developed a formula for super strength, and his costume is basically. An ant. I don't want to say an ant, but not, it's insect, insectoid. He's got the fangs and whatever. Except, I think when I've seen him, he's been, I think, a Green Arrow or a Batman villain. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his connection is to the Superman mythology so much.
First appeared in Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold. Okay. But in this particular incarnation, he's going to be one of the aliens that was on the prison block that got towed out of the Phantom Zone by Kara's ship.
Okay.
So he's not going to be human. He's going to be an alien. So what that's going to do in terms of powers and stuff, I don't know. But we've got, we've already know that Reactron's going to be in as a villain. And he's got a connection to Lucy Lane. We know that Livewire is coming to the show. Justice Leak from Powers is going to play Helgramite. And
in his first appearance, Batman and Creeper fought him.
Okay. All right. So yeah, he was a Batman. He was a Gotham City villain first.
And then he went to attack Black Canary and Green Arrow showed up.
Gotcha.
Rutina Wesley. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Rutina Wesley from True Blood. She has been cast to play Liza Warner, also known as Lady Cop.
Right. I saw that. That is awesome.
Oh, that's on Arrow. That's on Arrow. Where did I see? Hold on. Because I've got... here it is. Another True Blood alumnus, Britt Morgan, is going to play Livewire. And she's coming in. She's a confident, abrasive, and funny shock jock who works for Catco Media. And an accident gives her powers.
Doesn't it always?
Yes.
Livewire sounds like a Static Shock villain.
I remember Livewire's costume, I think.
Livewire, she was introduced in the animated series, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's another animated character.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's what I thought, because she's shown up in other things. And
then she also made it into the comic after that.
Right, because we've seen her on Justice League. She was on the animated Justice League, animated Superman, I think, she is where she first showed up. And then she was on, she was in Young Justice.
Yeah.
Saw her there. And now we're going to get a live-action version of her. And did you also see? I mean, it just keeps on going. Supergirl is also going to have
in Superman the Animated Series.
Okay, yeah, because Tank Girl, what's
her
name?
She got the Harley
Laura Petty treatment.
Lori Petty was the she did the voice.
Yeah.
But we're also getting Red Tornado on Supergirl.
Right.
Did you guys know this?
Well, that'll be fun.
No.
Yeah, I saw
Concerned.
That.
Red Concerned. Tornado.
Lots of characters.
So we're bringing in an android?
Lots of characters.
Well,
lots of chances for screw it up.
I know. But see, the thing about it is, though, if it was David Goyer, I would be very, very concerned. The fact that it's Berlanti and that gang, I'm on the fence. I'm thinking, okay, because when they announced Helgramite today, I thought, oh, we're getting too much. If they spread it out,
I think it's getting dangerous.
It's getting
to me. I want Red Tornado on Titans.
Well,
I would love to see Red Tornado. I would like to see that.
Well, here's
I want Red Tornado on Titans, not Supergirl.
Here's how they could do Red Tornado. It's a massive departure from the actual origin of it. There's two ways they could do it. You could have T.O. Morrow working for Hank Henshaw's outfit, and they build Red Tornado as a preventive, just in case Supergirl can't get the job done. They've got to get something that can handle the aliens. Or if you do a departure from the origin, and Red Tornado is actually security operative in the prison, where he worked in the prison to make sure that they never got out. Those are the two ways that
I
see
it. Or maybe he's a prototype for Cyborg Superman. But it went wrong.
Oh. Well, that could be a connection there, because if he is, he could be part of the same program.
Cyborg Superman.
That's right. And he wouldn't be pretending to be Superman, but I don't see where we couldn't get that accident that makes him a cyborg villain at some point. And maybe it's the same technology. Maybe the same technology that gives us to Red Tornado.
I don't know. I feel like we're reaching.
Well, how many episodes have they got? 22?
Do they have a full 22 pickup?
I don't know. Do they? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
You know what? I don't know.
I was thinking they did.
If they did,
I'm just going to say I believe in them.
Well, let's assume they've got the 22 episodes. I think they do. If that's the case, then the fact that they're announcing so many cast members, so many villains and all that, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see them all in the first five episodes.
Well, yeah, no, that's very true. Not,
and they're not season regulars.
This was on CW, yeah, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
CBS, you've got about two episodes. You know, it's like you got two or three episodes. If not, start packing it in.
Yep. Well, see, it's not CBS though. It's Berlanti. I'm looking at the guys that are actually making the show, not the network.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking Berlanti has three episodes. If those ratings dip in those three episodes, that show's off the air.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
Looks like about 13 episodes for the first season.
Is it 13? Okay.
Well, so they still, have 13 episodes.
Yeah. They can introduce threads for other seasons mm-hmm. with some of these characters. That doesn't necessarily.
That's no problem. I mean, they did that in The Flash. They do that in Arrow. They do that in everything.
You have a theory, Jeff?
What if Henshaw captures Ray Palmer to work for him to design a suit?
Well,
because the Atom suit already kind of looks like a Red Tornado would, kind of.
Except.
Yeah, CBS. Okay, now, because the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour has been going on, and I'd really like for us to be there at some point. But Mark Pedowitz from CW has said he's open to crossovers. However, CBS president, what's her name? Her name escapes me at the moment, but she has said there's not going to be.
Right.
So, either there's not going to be right now unless the fans get, you know, really loud and say, we really want to see this crossover.
Yeah.
Well, it'll get canceled, and then they'll show up on the CW.
CW becomes the new Netflix, saving all the shows, right? Well, Manu Bennett was in. You talk about crossover. You mentioned the Teen Titans here earlier. Manu Bennett was in town for Kansas City Comic Con, and we got a chance to. You know, I sat, and of course, during the Q&A in this panel, people were asking where else could Slade show up, because people, you know, Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, he's a Teen Titans villain.
Right.
That's where he came into his own. And so people, of course, are asking if he's, you know, if anybody's talked to him about doing Titans over there on TNT. And he's loved to do it. Nobody's talked to him about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But as early as it is in development, I doubt they even have any scripts written. Because I haven't seen anything about it yet. All I know is that there's...
It's a ways in development.
It's a while.
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
It'll show up.
I don't even know if it'll show up. I said, the bubble's going to burst before then.
It'll show up. Of course, I'm still waiting for the Booster Gold show to show up on Sci-Fi.
Well, they have said Booster Gold cannot be on the CW shows.
Right. Which means
they have a plan. Think about that for just a moment. They have a plan for Booster Gold. Hold that thought in your mind.
Well,
turn it around and sit there and say, of all the comic book characters DC has, somebody sat there and went, no, you can't use Booster Gold.
Well, now wait a minute, because let's follow this thread down the rabbit hole for a second, because we all know that Ray Palmer was not supposed to be Ray Palmer.
Right. He was supposed to be Ted Gord.
And the fact that they are not allowed to use Ted Kord. The fact that they're not allowed to use Booster Gold makes me wonder if, because Jeff Johns is supposed to be working on Booster Gold, the Sci-Fi. Mm-hmm. He's developing that. I wonder if that's going to end up being a Blue and Gold show, if it ever happens.
I just don't know if it's ever going to I just think it would have happened by now if it was going to happen.
I don't know, because right in the middle of all of that is when Sci-Fi changed all their suits.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be the fact that, you know, that
and
new people in charge, they decided it's not going to happen right now, or...
Now, what about on... What? No, obviously, yeah, they're... Never mind. Because, obviously, Booster Gold would fit in perfectly with Legends of Tomorrow.
Right. And I'm thinking that the reason we got Rip Hunter is because we don't have Booster Gold. Because somebody sat there and said, you can't use Booster Gold. Because that would be the perfect place to put him.
Yeah. And he should be part of that team.
And if we had gotten Ted Kord,
dude, that would be
we would have gotten JLI.
Gold.
Yeah,
that would have been JLI.
That would have been it.
All you need was Guy Red Rocket, and then you'd have the JLI.
Guy Gardner. Red Rocket.
Yes. But we're not going to get any of the Green Lanterns. The producers have come out cleanly in the last actual couple of weeks and said that the Green Lanterns themselves are off limits for the TV universe
for now.
For now, yes.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Unless they think they can make money off of it.
Well,
Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's dead. Unless this one makes money.
All right, speaking of money, we don't have any, but we're going to take a break here, and then when we get back, we're going to talk more about Arrow and Flash. We haven't even talked about the Flash yet. Very quickly, we will zip through all of that when the Rogues Gallery continues here on Sci-Fi from your radio. Don't go anywhere.
This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Whoa, where'd you get that shirt?
Bought it at the convention last week. It's an Atomic Cotton design.
Atomic Cotton?
Yep, they got t-shirt designs from sci-fi, horror, cult films. All the shirts were really unique and fun. I had to get one.
I gotta wait for another convention, though.
Nope, AtomicCotton.com. I ordered a shirt. Shipping was super fast.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at AtomicCotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out. Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
If you unsubscribe to our podcasts, our legion is doomed. Now back to the Rogues Gallery on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Back on the Rogues Gallery, Jason Hunt here in studio with Kendall Sin.
Good afternoon.
And on the Ansible from various different parts around the globe, Mr. Jeff Hackworth calling in from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hello. Hello.
Christopher Jensen from across the way in Kansas City.
Hey there.
And also Mr. Timothy Harvey out and about.
Hello, hello.
With his cat. And we are talking about the DC Comics television and film universe. We're sticking with the TV shows for this time because the shows, we're going to go long with this one just because of all of the stuffs that we've got to talk about. If you want to chime in and give us your opinion on everything, don't forget you can leave us a comment or you can send us an email, roguesgallery@scififorme.com. Or you can call our hotline, it's 573-42-SCI-FI, and leave us your thoughts on any of these shows. Let's talk about The Flash really quick. Wally West and Vandal Savage.
Wally West is going to be interesting. Now, it is my understanding that this is not...
This is New 52 Wally.
Well, yes, it's New 52 Wally, but it may not be this dimension's Wally.
Oh, possibly
could
not.
Be like
no,
an Earth 2 variant. Yeah, maybe like a son or a nephew.
Way outside of the box now, right, for season 2, because you know we've got Jay Garrick coming on to the show. Did you guys see the artwork?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. That was awesome.
So cool.
I didn't see it.
It was a live action version of Showcase
Flash of
Showcase
Blue.
Nice.
123. Flash
really?
123. Yeah. So you got you know Grant Gustin on one side, you get the guy playing Jay Garrick on the other side, and of course they've had to replace the victim, the citizen, with a blonde female instead of the guy that was getting the girder dropping.
Isn't
on.
Is that going to be Patty Spivett?
Well, yeah. You know that's a good thought. Some people thought it looked a little bit like Felicity, but it could be.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was spot on. It was a great little recreation of that.
That's awesome.
Falk Hencher. There's a name.
Hawkman.
He's going to be Hawkman in Legends of Tomorrow. We've got Vandal Savage being played by a Danish actor.
Casper Crump.
He kind of looks the part.
He does.
He wasn't on any of our lists.
No.
I don't think he was on anybody's list anywhere in the United States.
He's not on a lot of radars.
I've never heard of it.
But he will be after this, because apparently he's also starring in a 2016 revamp of Tarzan.
Yeah.
For WB.
Haven't they been threatening us with a revamp of Tarzan for a while now?
Well, yeah, they're threatening again next year.
And I do use the word threatened.
Well,
as long as it's good as Conan.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with that.
Or as good as Hercules.
Let's do our little digression here for a moment, because let's talk about Tarzan for a second, because this goes back to John Carter.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that movie.
The Edgar Rice Burroughs estate seems to be taking a more active role in the exploitation of their intellectual properties. This, I think, might be a good thing. We'll see. But how Tarzan turns out may very well give us an indication of how the next John Carter movie is going to turn out.
because the Burroughs Estate has said that they're planning on moving forward with more John Carter movies, even though Disney is not. Because right. all the rights reverted back, and the Burroughs Estate said, we're going to make some more. And all the fans went, squee! Okay, so that's our digression for the show.
I want to see Tarzan fight Gorilla Grodd.
That'd be funny. This guy, Casper Crump, he's not done anything yet in very much in the United States at all. But you're right, Tim. He does look the part. He's got everything. He's got the dark hair and the brooding brow and the goatee. The beard. You know, he's got the face. And
yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. And the fact that he's Danish, I'm wondering if they're going to play with his accent.
Well, they could just let him use his accent because, I mean, Vandal Savage, of course, is, incredibly old.
Yeah.
And American audiences are not necessarily familiar with as many accents from around the world as say, a European audience would be. So I think you can definitely have someone who sounds distinct in a way that we're not necessarily getting from something like, you know, the sort of standard British-sounding villain.
yes, because all villains are British.
The English are evil. We've established this cinematically since the dawn of cinema and sound that all the British are very, very good at evil.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be kind of a refreshing sound, I would think.
Well, and I also wonder if there might be a little bit of an international market consideration in play here, because apparently he's fairly big in Europe.
Yeah, well, no, that makes sense.
And Arrow is really big in Europe, so maybe they're trying to broaden that appeal to include the Flash a little bit more.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Now, Kenan Lonsdale coming on board as Wally West. Is it Kenan?
How old is he?
I don't know, but his first...
I can't find him.
He's young. It's K-E-I-Y-N-A-N is his first name, is the spelling of that. His first professional role in 2007, a movie called Razzle Dazzle. He's Australian. No.
Okay.
Yes. He's Australian. Mm-hmm. And his first... The big movie that he's done so far was Insurgent, which was the second Divergent movie. He played Uriah. And he's going to be in the next one, the Allegiant Part 1 and 2. And he's going to be Wally West. Now, his background is in dance and musical theater. So,
as is mine.
Well, but think about this. All right, you got Kenan Lonsdale, who's dance music. You've got Grant Gustin, who's Glee. You've got the guy that plays Joe... I'm just not doing good on names tonight. All of them can sing.
They can all sing. So you're hoping for a musical episode.
The Music Meister has got to show up at some point.
And that would fit perfectly in the Flash.
Exactly.
That would fit perfectly with the Flash.
Yes.
With the tone of that show, that could work.
And it will be amazing.
Yes, Jeff, you're right. Neil Patrick Harris has got to play the Music Meister.
And it'll be amazing.
And it'll win
an Emmy.
It'll be a crossover. It'll be a crossover with Arrow. And
yeah.
the only way you defeat him is with the Canary Cry. Because it's Sonic. It's your sound. It's all sound. They figure out Cisco does whatever he does, and he figures out.
Cisco does his thing. And
he does his thing. He figures out that the Music Meister is using sound to control people to do what they want to do. And so they go to Star City and get the Black Canary and say, hey, we need your pipes over here. And that's the big crossover for the season, whenever it shows up. Season 3, I think.
You know, with all the random things we throw out, one or two of them's got to hit. You know what I mean? Like, one or two of them.
Yeah. When that episode of Batman Brave and the Bold with the Music Meister was nominated for an Emmy, So if they do bring in the Music Meister for the live action series of The Flash or Arrow, it'll win an Emmy.
Well, at the very least. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Buffy.
It didn't win an Emmy, though.
Yeah, it was still a fan favorite.
Everybody thinks it does because they talk so much about how it didn't win an Emmy.
Mm. But see, the thing about it is, yeah, Chris is right. It's a fan favorite. It's one of those things that people love those things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would be amazing. I think it would be awesome. I think it fits the tone of the show, and I decree it as a must.
Oh, and then you could get Supergirl because she was on Glee, too.
Exactly.
She was on Glee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just everybody from the CW was on Glee at one point in time, weren't they?
She was on season 5 of Glee, so I don't know what you can say about that.
Look at who all is over on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You talk about musical episodes of Buffy and that. It seems that for a lot of Joss Whedon's shows, there's a musical episode. And I'm waiting for a musical episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It could happen.
I think you're going to keep waiting on that one.
I think I probably will. But it'll be the episode where Amy Acker comes back. Right? Speaking of which, though, for those of you who may not be aware, and by this time, if you're not aware, you probably haven't been paying attention, or I haven't been saying it loud enough, we do have a Marvel Comics, Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast that we do called Level 117, and that goes back into weekly production when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back on September 29th, so just throw that programming note out there. You still think two years?
Yeah. Two years on the bubble bursting.
2 years on the bubble. Let me go around to everybody and has anybody decided to change their estimates
that's where I've got the death clock. And you got it. I'm looking pretty good after that Fantastic Four bomb. And that's not a nail in the coffin. That's just a carpenter somewhere saying, you know what? I should probably start working on a coffin.
Well, now
the thing didn't even wear pants.
Well, there's an explanation for that, because the rocks are on top of him. It's basically a wraparound. They're stuck to him. They adhered to him. But it's interesting because Chris and Tim have both touched on this before already. The need for a first act, a second act, a third act. Well, the writer of Fantastic Four has come out basically saying...
it had all that,
The first act's kind of mine. The rest of it's not.
Well, real briefly, I mean, everybody knows that, Joss Trank, that was apparently just a nightmare of a set. I mean, he lost Star Wars because of it.
Allegedly.
Well, that's pretty much... I thought that was pretty much common knowledge, but I thought that was the general idea.
It's prevailing. It's the prevailing wisdom of the time. But it's not. It hasn't been
never confirmed.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
By
nobody's
fact.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know. Disney hasn't.
But
come
I
out
think
and
with
said,
all of the mudslinging rumor mills, like I think Kendall's on to that track, because even today they put out articles indicating that Miles Teller and Trank were almost at blows on set at times.
Yeah, and he didn't even want Kate Mara playing Sue Storm. He got stuck with her for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And apparently didn't even treat her like a person on set. So, you've got to be sitting there going, I'm probably not going to give him Star Wars. I can't fathom working on that set. Because, all of us have been involved in that kind of, in those environments. And you don't make a film like that without people cooperating with each other. If people are not cooperating with each other, you are not going to have a good film.
And
it shows.
I present to you Exhibit A.
That's right. Now, okay, let's go around the table and revise or reaffirm everybody's predictions on the bubbles. Kendall says two years. Chris?
I'm not ready to say 2 years yet, because there's one big event happening next year in March, right? The Batman V opening. And everything that we're seeing on that, and all the rumors behind the scenes of the very biased people are saying that it's amazing. And they're getting ready with all this stuff we won't go into now with a golden deal for Affleck and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, because he's going to get a trilogy.
In that sense, then I believe that there will be a renewed expansion of this kind of superhero, you know, genre bubble for at least another year. So I'm going to say three.
Okay, so 3 years for you, Jeff.
I may sound crazy, but I'm going to go seven.
Seven. Well, see, now that's less than the last time because at one point you said 10.
Oh, wait.
No, oh, that's okay. You can go with seven. Seven. Okay. All right, Tim.
Seven to ten, anywhere between.
See, at this point, I honestly don't know because I think we have two bubbles. I think we have the television bubble, and I think we have the movie bubble.
I think television will last longer than the movies.
I think you could do as long as they don't completely screw it up. Someone doesn't bring something out that complete and it's spread out of so many networks right now. It's much harder to do that.
Well, it's funny you should say that because that's the perfect setup for what I'm about to do to you guys.
Uh-oh. What?
All right, this is from Deadline. Article by
What's he gonna do to us?
Nelly Andreeva, who of course has had her share of controversy over the last few months. Okay, the article. Headline: DC Comics Workplace Comedy lands at NBC with pilot production commitment.
Which I think, but I read the article that you posted to the Facebook page. Everybody go like the Facebook page. And it sounds awesome. I think it sounds awesome. No, I think it sounds amazing. I love the idea.
I would totally watch that.
Okay, so
I love it.
Here's, I want to read from the article. The primetime DC Comics universe is expanding in a comedy direction. In a competitive situation, powerless, a half-hour single-camera comedy from A to Z creator Ben Queen and Warner Brothers TV has landed at NBC with a pilot production commitment. This means they're actually going to make the pilot, but there's no commitment to a series yet. It's basically, let's see what happens.
Right.
The project.
Did anybody see how well A to Z went?
Yeah.
I never saw it. I have no idea what that show is.
A to Z died a very quick death because people hated it.
Yeah.
It was like three episodes.
Yeah, if that. The ratings on it were just abysmal. Based on characters from DC Comics, Powerless is a workplace comedy set at one of the worst insurance companies in America, with the twist being that it also takes place in the universe of DC Comics. The show is about the reality of working life for a normal, powerless person in a world of superheroes and villains.
I love the concept. I do not love that it's a comedy. I think it would make a great drama.
This is Marvel's Damage Control. Marvel did
There's
this title.
There's a Kirby Crackle song about that.
Now, here's the other thing, okay? Powerless reunites Queen with NBC, where he created an executive-produced comedy A to Z, which died very quickly. Previously, he created and executive-produced the 2007 Fox 20th TV drama series Drive, which starred Emma Stone and Nathan Fillion.
Which I never saw, but I actually heard that was a very enjoyable show.
Was it? How long did I've never heard of it. How long did it go?
I had neither.
It ran. It was a summer show. I think it ran like 13 or 14 episodes.
Really?
I can't remember. It was very. It was very hyped.
Wait,
and I remember people liking it.
Emma Stone and Nathan Fillion were on a show together.
And you had no idea.
Nobody knew about it.
It was a summer show.
I've never heard of this show.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Cannonball Run as a drama.
I love Emma Stone, and I've watched all of her movies, but I have not seen this show.
Tim, what were you?
For whatever reason, it did not get the ratings. It did not get any kind of really positive... enough kind of positive feedback for it to turn into anything of consequence. I'm torn on the workplace comedy thing. It could almost be a Justice League International tone.
Yeah.
If you did that, and your superheroes all happen in the background. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all off camera, and you can completely make something hysterical as long as you played with it. The problem is, the potential problem I see, is that that is so inside baseball for most audiences.
Yeah.
For the comic book fans, they'd be sitting there going, that's hysterical! Or going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, so it'll be chock full of, like, Easter eggs. I mean, they're not going to have
exactly
a way to really – I mean, it's going to need very dynamic casting of a lead. And if they don't go full slapstick on it, you know, if they try to balance it a little bit, maybe make a dramedy or something.
Well, the fact that it's going to be single camera and not a sitcom
right
kind of tells me that they're going in that direction.
Yeah,
with
I think they're going in the Office direction.
They're playing – yeah, it's the Office, what it is. It also feels like – from a timing perspective, you consider that we've now gone through Man of Steel, Avengers, Avengers 2, destroy the world, the city's coming down, buildings falling down.
I can't wait to see. It actually works. Yeah,
from
I can't
a timing
wait to see, but I just think it would make a very fascinating drama.
I just don't think that Warner Brothers and DC is going to get it right.
Yeah. In fact,
well, this is their television universe, and their television universe has been more often than not pretty good.
But Ben Queen wrote Cars 2, and he's got two shows that didn't take off. And the last thing he's done was A to Z, which didn't last more than three episodes. Died a very quick, fiery death.
But that's television. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. There are some really, really fantastic people who have made some great shows that have been canceled or shows that just never caught on. And there have been some terrible, terrible people.
I don't think it goes to series.
Who have been making terrible, terrible shows who have had careers forever. It's you know, television, it's not like the movies where you make a terrible crappy movie and you can tank your career.
You heard it here first. Did you steal that from somebody or did you just make that up, Tim? Because that's brilliant. That's
it
a
is.
New
well,
saying. You just tranked.
I honestly don't know. I may have stolen it from somebody. It may have just come up. But anyway, but yeah, it should now actually be an adjective.
It should, and it probably will be.
It probably will be. So, yeah, I mean, but TV
you need to trademark that crap.
We have so many networks. We have so many different chances for a show to find a niche audience and stay on the air forever or die a quick death because it didn't find that niche audience. So I just don't know. I mean, I need a lot more information.
Yeah.
About this show before I can, but back to the time frame.
Yeah.
I think TV has got probably 10 years in it at this point because you have so many different places for it to live.
Well, I will say there's always been something out there.
As long as CW is going to continuing to make advertising money on the DC universe, they're going to keep doing it.
The DC universe has been on TV for a while. You know, I mean, since...
It's been on for, 15 years?
Yeah, because Smallville ran for 10.
10, and then, I mean, Arrow started the next season, right? It was very close.
Nah, I think it was...
What was before Smallville?
Well, it was Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. So I'm saying there's always been a presence.
Which wasn't any good.
Now, in its current form... I will give you this. I think it will last at least one or two more years than the cinematic universe. The TV universe will last one or two years longer before it dies out because you have, I mean, it's always that concept
of the crossover.
These people are coming into your home versus you're going out to see them. Like, that's the concept of TV.
Yeah, but the crossover episodes are going to be the thing that keeps it going too because of the ratings boost.
Yeah.
And you've
so, Kendall, you really think that, like, the cinematic universe only has a two-year bubble?
Yep.
It's but, I mean, dead in 2 years. What are all these contracts going out there with putting the characters, like, even, like, currently, you know, like...
they'll get bought out.
Well, Ben is going to be at, like, 10 years. They're saying potentially on screen as Batman for up to 10 years.
Yeah, he'll get bought out. They won't make it. Well, I don't think he won't make three movies.
But Batman's the exception. Batman is the exception because Batman has always been a marketable property no matter what. And so right now, I mean, we got a Lego Batman movie coming out. Yeah. We got, you know, blah, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So even if the larger universe never materializes, we could still end up getting
a Batman
another
movie.
10 years of Batman movies.
And also understand that I'm saying that the current state of the way the movies are, where you have 3-4 coming out a year.
Well, no. That,
and
see,
the shared
is, though,
universe and
what's,
stuff.
What's going to happen if DC fails? Now, here's what's going to happen. If Wonder Woman fails, then that means that female lead superheroes are going to go on the back burner. And if Batman 5 Superman tranks the DC cinematic universe,
you owe me 5 cents.
Then what they'll end up doing is they'll use the Ben Affleck trilogy
to reboot
the entire universe. And the last one of those, the trilogy stories is going to be called Darkness, No Parents.
Super.
And that'll take it all in a new direction.
That could lead to Batman Beyond.
A cinematic reboot.
It's
Batman Beyond is actually a property which actually would work very, very well in a cinematic sense. That would
that'd be interesting.
And that actually, and it was actually one of the things they proposed back before they got the Nolan movies.
Yeah.
So that would actually be something, because you are not hampered by the need to stick to a certain continuity that everyone gets really upset about if you aren't close enough. Or really upset because you went over the same material all over again. There's a lot more freedom, and oddly enough, that takes us back around to the TV shows where they have not been slaves to continuity, except for over on Gotham where they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
but you know they've had the freedom to make their own little pocket universes when it comes to continuity. And it's worked very, very well. So
here's what I'm thinking. Because Pedowitz,
go ahead. That's what I was saying. The problem is that where it goes too far, like, and you know, where you get over on like Lucifer, where here you have completely neutered the concept. Like, oh, that's great. Someone just. Shoot it now. It's not. That's your big DC Comics TV show fail on its way.
Well, I think.
You mean besides Gotham season two?
Look, I mean, there's always going to be. I mean, there's a reason why. How many years ago did Warner's buy DC? That was when I was a kid.
That was a long time.
I mean, that was, you know, but I mean, there's a reason why.
But
you
see,
know, there
that's
is,
the same.
There is
that's,
marketability. But when you have a Superman and a Batman,
right?
That's. I mean, there's always going to be a new Superman movie.
But there's a huge difference in the attitude, because if you look at Disney buying Marvel and Time Warner buying DC, granted, it's a completely different time frame when those things happen. But I don't think, and I've said this before, I don't think Warner Brothers understands what they own.
No.
Disney is taking the smart route because they're sitting there saying, okay, Marvel, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just put it out there and we'll market the heck out of it, but you guys go make it. We don't have to understand it. We just have to get the cash.
Disney has been around for as long as Disney has been around for a very simple reason. They are very smart at business and they know how to – and they appear – not saying they haven't had failures, but their string of failures – led them to understand a very simple concept. This thing over here works.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of playing in the sandbox. They're kids playing in the sandbox. And so their first really big buy was when they bought Pixar. They're like, Pixar keeps beating the crap out of us every year in animated movies. And we're friggin' Disney.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like, why are they, you know, I mean, they had a piece of that pie as they were their distributor, but they didn't own Pixar. They're like, hey, I have an idea.
Everybody loves the company. Let's buy the company that made the real Fantastic Four movie that worked.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's like, let's buy this company that's doing it right. So they did it. And now let's leave them alone. Let's let them do the thing. And then they turn around and they did it with Marvel. They're like, hey, they're really doing a good job.
And let's then they did it with Lucasfilm.
And then they're like, hey, let's make an offer. You know, let's go out. What other crazy properties can we buy? Here's Star Trek? Ah, they're not letting us do it. How about Star Wars? No, Lucas will never give that up. 30 years of his life, all those toys. Okay, yeah, I'll sell it to you. And then I'm going to give all that money to charity. Why can you not hate Lucas? All I want to do is get mad at him. And then he was like, oh, yeah, give me a few billion dollars. I'm going to give it to charity.
Yeah. Here's what I think is going to happen on TV. Because now that we've got Constantine on Arrow, and because Mark Pedowitz says that he's still open to the idea of more TV shows, DC TV shows on his network, even though it's not going to happen right now, the fact that you've introduced magic now into this realm means that at some point, because we've got one team already coming in with Legends of Tomorrow, you're going to get Constantine, you're going to get Zatanna, you're going to get, basically, you're going to get Justice League Dark as a CW show, because that's...
We're never getting the movie.
We're never getting the movie. We'll get it on a TV show. We'll get Justice League International, and we'll get Justice League Dark on the TV network before we get them in the films.
And I think that's going to be a little bit... are going to help the Justice League Dark.
I still have my Zatanna pitch sitting in a drawer. I'm ready.
I think that's going to be a bit difficult, though, because CW, in that sense, only has about 10 hours of programming.
Right.
And they're taking up a huge chunk already with superheroes. So unless what we speculated to become the actual TV, you know, DCU, and just wipe out all their programming, which I doubt they will, that's going to be hard-pressed to get another couple of superhero shows out there.
I worked for a CW affiliate for a while here in Kansas City. And one of the things that was discussed internally was that, you know, the block of programming that the network provides, and then everything else is local programming, syndicated, and all of that. There have been times when people have wondered, because there have been discussions, I think, if I'm remembering the conversations that I've heard correctly, at one point there were some people wondering what's going to happen if we lose that third hour. Meaning, at some point, CW was thinking about adding that third hour of primetime into their block, and the affiliates would lose that hour of local programming. You can go, so no more Dr. Phil at 9, no more Oprah reruns or whatever else you run at 9 o'clock. You'd have original programming there in that third primetime block. And if CW keeps going the way it is, because they've always had plans to expand. It's just they've never done it because they found their groove and they're getting it, and that's what they do, and here we go. Don't, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, as my dad would say. But there is nothing that says they can't take that third hour, and that'd give you another 5 hours of programming every week.
And they should get rid of the news for at least an hour.
Well, yeah, because some of the affiliates do the early news blog,
like Fox used to do.
Yeah, but if you lose that, then you could do Justice League Dark at 9 o'clock, and the Friday the 13th, the Friday the 13th series that they're in development, 9 o'clock. Put it in that last.
Hold on. This is news that I have missed. Yes. There is a Friday the 13th show in development.
They are developing with the
Crystal Lake, with
the director of the original film and Crystal Lake Entertainment and the guys that created The Pretender over on NBC. They're all coming on board. There's a huge roster of executive producers on this. There's a big, you know, lots of cooks in the kitchen, as it were. But they are developing a Friday the 13th series of a detective looking for his missing brother, and there's a tie-in somehow with Jason Voorhees. It is not Friday the 13th, the series Warehouse 13.
Right.
It's Friday the 13th, the movies coming to TV.
Well, now, that concept I don't dislike. I have to say, Kendall, I don't dislike that.
Kendall,
yes.
It's going to be a grounded show. You're going to be taking Michael Voorhees seriously.
Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
They're not going to be. So, I mean, it's.
I am going to keep an open mind on this one.
It makes me very, very nervous, just like any reboot of the classic horror villains.
I am not opposed to it's not sacrilege, you know what I mean? Because I was of the holy trinity of horror slasher films, Friday the 13th was last on my list.
It's actually my least favorite of the slasher series.
So I'm always open-minded to it. That doesn't mean it won't annoy me, you know. But
yeah, I'm concerned about the. It's kind of like you can't stare directly at these kind of movies. If you think about them for any length of time, you realize that nothing actually makes the slightest bit of sense. And so it's horror. The best horror programming, whether it's TV shows or, which is of course rare that you have good horror on TV, but the best horror films always have, you have to have a certain amount of suspension of disbelief and grounding things, especially pulling something out of the 80s. It always makes me really, really nervous. And they tried it. They called it Nightmare on Elm Street, the reboot. And how well did that work?
Yeah, it was. Yep. Now that was a little bit more insulting to me.
All right. With that, Kendall gets the last word. that's going to do it for us here on this episode of the Rogues Gallery. Now, coming in September, the plan is for us to be on a regular schedule. We're going to try to record every couple of weeks to discuss the shows as they go. We're going to be watching them. We're going to be discussing them. So check back here on a regular basis starting in September. We're going to be posting new episodes as the seasons unfold. And in the meantime, you can connect with us over on all of the social media. Like Kendall says, we're on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Google+, Pinterest, YouTube, and Tumblr. And you can send us an email, roguesgallery@scififorme.com. You can also leave a comment either on our site or anywhere on the social media where you find us. If you have stumbled across us somehow, somebody shared a link with you, you want to subscribe to our show, you can do that a couple of different ways. You can subscribe by email on our show page, or you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and follow us that way. That's going to do it for us. We're wrapping up here. Kendall Sin.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. Tim Harvey.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Christopher Jensen.
Until next time.
And Jeff Hackworth.
Back in a flash.
And for those of you who are listening, thank you very much for joining us. My name is Jason Hunt. On behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, we appreciate your support. You can do that monetarily by going to Patreon. We're at patreon.com/sci-fi-for-me if you'd like to support our projects here. And that's going to wrap it up. We are going to head out and be back with another episode of the Rogues Gallery very soon.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.